Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Baptism is a controversial subject amongst Christians. This controversy is most apparent when we see that some churches refuse to baptize infants and very, very young children. And other churches, like ours, will baptize infants, young children, older children, adults, people of any age. And this may seem like kind of a surface-level difference, just a disagreement on what age you get baptized. But this disagreement is there because of deeper, more fundamental differences regarding what baptism actually is and what it does. When you see a church that refuses to baptize infants, you know that there's probably a reason for it. And they probably have a different confession about what baptism is that differs from what we confess from Scripture about what baptism is. Many Christians do not believe that baptism is anything more than a ceremony that God tells us to keep, to show other people that we have already beforehand had a conversion experience and received the Holy Spirit. That we have baptism, they will say, as an outward sign of an inward reality. That we do it to show to others that we've had this conversion experience sometime before this. And now we tell everyone publicly that we've had this conversion experience. That differs from what we confess from Scripture regarding what baptism is. That baptism is not our work in which we say that we have made a commitment to God, but rather it is God's work in which God makes his commitment to us. That in baptism, God does a wonderful and powerful work in a person, and here is where God is giving the Holy Spirit, where he is washing away sins, where he is giving new life. We confess that baptism is God's work, God coming down to us and making us alive. And so as a result, because it is God's work, it really doesn't matter what age you are when this happens. Because you don't have to be able to make a decision or be able to have an experience or to talk about it and to confess it in order to be baptized. Because it's all God's work, you could be a little baby who is helpless, who is unable to choose or decide or have an experience that you can talk about. God can come and make even a baby alive in him. Even a baby he can wash of sins and give new life. Doesn't matter whether you are one day old or 100 years old. God can come and make alive and do a powerful work in baptism. But where is this in Scripture? We have to go to what Scripture says to understand, then, what baptism is. And our gospel reading today is especially helpful in confessing that baptism, Christian baptism, is a work that God does in which he comes to us and makes us alive. And we see it in the passage I read at the beginning, where John the Baptist confesses, "He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus, and we heard in that gospel reading that the heavens were opened and the Spirit did indeed descend on Jesus in the form of a dove. And we hear today that John had been told before this, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Spirit." So John is confessing. Here's the evidence right before our eyes. Because the Spirit descended and remained on this one. Here is the evidence that this one, Jesus Christ, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Well, is Jesus walking around baptizing today? How do we know that we have been baptized by Jesus and so have received then the Holy Spirit? Well, we look to what Jesus instituted when he instituted baptism. At the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is Jesus' baptism. Baptism into this name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you know that you have received Jesus' baptism. When you have been baptized in this name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a church that confesses this name, that confesses the Trinity. And so you know, being baptized in this name, that you have received Jesus' baptism. And therefore, if you receive Jesus' baptism and Jesus has baptized you through the hands of his servants, that you have received the Holy Spirit. That he has baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And why is this important? Why is it important to even have the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, who causes us to believe in Jesus. Scripture says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who continues to convict us of our sins and point us to Jesus for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to grow in grace and holiness, who causes us to grow as and be more and more sanctified, to be more and more holy. So we want the Holy Spirit, and we give thanks that God does indeed give the Holy Spirit here in baptism and gives us a new life. But it's important not only to look to this one particular passage and to see that it is God who does the work in baptism of giving us new life by giving us his Holy Spirit. It's important to look elsewhere in Scripture to see that this is confirmed in other places. And we see a couple chapters later in the book of John, John chapter 3, that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus and he says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Notice he says here that a person has to be born again of water and the Spirit. Well, in baptism, a person is given water. Water is applied to them. And the Holy Spirit is given. And when this happens, we see that a person is born again, as Jesus says. And so a person must be born again of water and the Spirit in order to be in the kingdom of God. And this is what happens in baptism. But this isn't the only place where we see that the Holy Spirit is active in baptism, creating new life. In Titus 3, we hear, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." So on account of Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit has washed us of sin, has given us a new birth, a regeneration, and has given us a renewal, a new life. The Holy Spirit has come to us and made us new. This water is not just plain water. It is not just a nice rite or ceremony. It is not about us making a commitment to God, but rather it is God coming to us, bestowing upon us his Holy Spirit and making us new. But how can all of this happen? As you know, it is on the cross where Jesus paid for the sins of the world and paid for your sins. We stress that over and over again. How is it then that we can talk about baptism as the place where we are washed of sins? What about the cross? Well, the Apostle Paul explains the connection between these two in Romans chapter 6 when he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago in a place far away. But he takes and unites people to his cross, to his death, in the 21st century and in all the centuries since the death and resurrection of Jesus. He unites people to this death, buries them in baptism, buries your sin and my sin with Jesus. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, then we are raised from the dead. So what Jesus did on the cross in dying for our sins is brought to us, is delivered to our doorstep, personally and individually, in the waters of holy baptism. And we get the benefits of Christ's cross. Here, our sins are actually taken off of us, and Christ's righteousness is delivered and bestowed upon us. And we are given the Holy Spirit so that we have new life. So your baptism was a powerful event in which God took you and killed you and raised you and gave you the Holy Spirit. It may have felt like nothing special. In fact, many of you who were baptized as infants may not even remember when you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perhaps even at this font. But nevertheless, you know and believe God's word, that here he buried you, here he raised you, that here he bestowed on you his Holy Spirit, that he, Jesus, when he baptizes in his name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the confession of the Trinity, that he gives the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you have new life in Christ. And so this day, the day of your baptism, is actually more important than your birthday, than your wedding day, than the day you graduated from high school, or any other day of your life. Because before your baptism, you were headed for hell. But on the day of your baptism, you were converted, you were turned, you were given new life. And you were made a child of God and adopted into his family. This is the most important single day of your life. The day that you were given new life and made a new creature in Christ. And so we rejoice that God continues to do this to us and that he has done it to us in baptism. But someone will raise the question, well, doesn't that give someone the freedom to say, look, I've been baptized. That's great. I can now live however I want. It's my get out of hell free card. Well, that's a wrong attitude toward baptism for two reasons. First, because the person who has been made new in Christ and has been given the Holy Spirit will want and desire to have the Holy Spirit come again and again to feed them. The new life that you have been given in baptism needs to be fed and sustained. Just like that plant on your windowsill is not going to stay alive if it doesn't get water and sunlight and doesn't keep having soil. That plant, if it is pulled out of the soil and stuck in a dark room without any water, without any soil, without any sunlight, is going to die. And so the person who says, well, I've been baptized, I've been given new life, but now I'm going to stay away from God's word and sacrament, is staying away from the place where God is feeding and sustaining us. And the new creature in Christ eagerly and earnestly desires God's word more than anything else. The second reason that this attitude that says, hey, I've been forgiven, I can go and sin more, the reason this attitude is a problem is because the Holy Spirit doesn't create stagnant life when he comes. He creates new life that is ever growing and desires more and more what God wants and desires to confess one's sins and put to death what is evil in us, to put to death the deeds of our flesh, of our sinful nature. This new life in Christ wants more and more to have what God offers in his word and sacraments, and desires more and more to live new and holy lives, to grow in grace and holiness, to grow as children of God, and to grow in love toward others. This is the life of a new creature in Christ. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He comes to people of any age and gives new life. He is not limited by their age. And he performs a powerful work in baptism as he creates new life. This life needs to be fed and sustained by his word and sacrament. But it was here that he gave you new life. And then you come back here to be sustained so that you may continue to live new lives and grow in grace and holiness. Thanks be to God that he performs this wonderful and amazing work, that he makes a decision for you, that he makes his commitment to you here in baptism. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.